Hello again, friends. Colin Cook here, and this is How It Happens. Your host, Colin, here is a voice for the voiceless. You understand what I mean by that, don't you? There are many people in addiction, in the shame of these things, the guilt, that really feel they have no voice before the Lord and no voice before the church. And I want to say to you, my friend, that if in some way I can be your voice, then let that be so. But understand what I mean. I'm not trying to believe for you, but help you by this teaching, help you to believe. We all have to believe for ourselves, but as I share what I have learned in Jesus, in the midst of the struggles with the flesh, then you also can learn it, and I pray that you will. Listen to this broadcast each Monday through Friday on the radio, and listen to it also on the web at any time of the day or night, faithquestradio.com. Now, we're looking at the third factor in addiction. We're looking at the psychological dynamics, really. I'm no psychologist, though I counsel, and I have been a counselor for 32 years, but I must make that disclaimer so that I'm not broadcasting to you under false pretenses. But I want to say to you that there is an enormous amount of insight that comes from knowing Jesus and knowing the truth. We are able to divide things better than the psychologist might in the world. But we also make a mess of it sometimes because we fail to understand that there are three factors in addiction: spiritual delusions, emotional wounds, and escapes from pain. It's not just a behavior, the escape from the pain by drink or drugs or alcohol or food issues, by sex, pornography. It's not just the escape from pain that is at issue. Your behaviors might have become symbolic of an unfulfilled and unmet love need from childhood. That is the result of some kind of abuse or other, some kind of loss when you were a child. So one looks behind the behavior to what is triggering this so that in time one can go back and learn to go back to the wounds from childhood, which might have created a terrible sense of grief over loss or a great sense of anger over abuse, or a sense of helplessness because there was no one there to be strong for you, and thus you carry through life this continued sense of helplessness. So you explore those things, and then you explore them in the light of the love of God. That is, you break down by the gospel the spiritual delusions that make you feel that God wasn't there for you, or that he didn't care, or that he was judging you, or that you are less lovable than others because you had all of these problems. So, as we learn the gospel, we break through to the love of God, who has revealed himself in Jesus to be wonderfully kind, wonderfully full of grace. We are received in him, no matter how imperfect and broken down we are. There is a weeping of the heart as we come to God, realizing that in spite of all that we are still loved. And then slowly we begin to re-evaluate what happened in childhood. Yes, we go back to a parent maybe, we express our woundedness, our anger, our feeling of loss. We work that through, not to blame them, not to hammer them, but rather simply to work through our issue, whether the parent changes towards us or not. We also then begin to see how God himself can change something terrible into something good. I should say to change the effects of something terrible into something good. Thus, our anger begins to subside. We realize that all is not lost. We realize that grace can break through the pain of our lives, and that which seemed to be against us in the grace of God can actually be for us. And then we start opening up our lives to God in the midst of our addictive behaviors, our compulsions and our obsessive thoughts. We now are convinced that He's not casting us out because we've got a problem, but rather we are opening up to Him. This is how it works, my friends, as we work on the three factors, these three factors, the spiritual delusions, the emotional wounds, and the escapes from pain. And as I have pointed out to you, it's very useful to get a journal, to begin to talk through to yourself by the journal the issues of your life, the explorations and insights that you are discovering about your childhood, or the rediscovery of God through the gospel, the good news of the gospel that you are now receiving by faith. And the way, and you write these things down, the way you are now learning to intercept your struggle with addiction. Now all of this, this study of the three factors, this overview, is to give you some psychological background as you explore the gospel, because we're going to start right in again next week in the book of Romans. And we are going to see again the glory of the reality of truth, the reality of life, and above all, the reality of God. The book of Romans reveals to us who we are in ourselves. Then it reveals to us who we are in God. And above all, it reveals who God is in Christ. And what a marvelous revelation that is. Now then, let me just go to another one of the components of this escape from pain, this psychological factor of addiction. The factor that I want to talk about now is the double life. You see, if it's true that the addictive behaviors we have, we develop an increased tolerance for, if it is true that that leads to their developing a life of their own, if it is true that this requires a lot of deception to keep perpetuated, then obviously we're developing a double life. A man or woman in addiction has, sort of symbolically speaking, the night life and the day life. He has his normal life, perhaps with his family, with his friends, and then he has this other dark side, which is very separated, very much separated from his regular, ordinary life. Now, I say this to you simply to turn lights on in your head, not at all to condemn you. There's no point in condemnation, my friend. Don't think that if I condemn myself, if I thrash myself, if I beat myself up, that I will stop doing what I'm doing. It doesn't work at all. There is, therefore, now no condemnation in Jesus Christ. We need to take a business-like inventory of ourselves to be able to see what's happening here. Okay, I have a double life. I have never allowed one to cross into the other. Now, what is the solution to that? One might say, well, quit the double life. Quit the dark side of your life. The fact is, of course, it's useless to talk in that way. Tell an addict to quit, and you're telling him to jump to the moon. It simply is not how it works. But how about this? Let the light of day break into the darkness of your night. Would that be possible? Oh, certainly it would. In other words, let's suppose you're in the throes of an addiction. Let's suppose you're in the throes of a binge. You're at the bar. You're drunk. Or you're on a sex binge, and you have completely blocked out reality and your normal life, and you just are in this zombie state and this rush, and you're not thinking about anything else. Let's suppose you've delved into a whole pound container of ice cream. You feel depressed, you've done it again, you know you'll put weight on, and it's very upsetting to you. Well, what do you normally do? I know what you normally do. You normally stay in the darkness, stay in depression, stay zombied out until the whole mood passes. I have news for you. What we are going to learn in the book of Romans, and what I will summarize right now, is that you can speak into your darkness And you can say, Father in heaven, I thank you that you are here with me. What? God is in the dark? Yes, he is. All things are light to God. All things are open to him. If we wait to come out of our darkness in order to be able to come to the light of God, we shall never come out, shall we? Because there's no desire whatsoever to come out of darkness unless God can be with us in there and take our hand and lead us out. And so in the darkness, we learn to say, Father in heaven, I'm sinning. I'm ashamed of myself, but I'm not going to condemn myself because I thank you that you atoned for me at the cross in Jesus my Savior. Jesus took all of my humanity on the cross and died for it and was punished for it. Therefore, I am not condemned even in this darkness. Lord Jesus, help me and Father to continue to talk to you, to thank you that you are still here with me, so that finally I can say, okay, Lord, could I take your hand? I'm ready to walk out with you now. That's how we deal with things. We, in this broadcast, start at the core of all addictions, which is the inner spirit. That spirit is either closed down in relation to God, or it can open up in relation to God, right in the midst of it all. You say, Colin, I don't know. This doesn't sound too safe to me. Well, could I give you a simple illustration? You've known this all your life. You just haven't realized the implications of it. Have you ever thought how the prodigal son came to his right mind in the pigsty? There he is, sitting among the pigs, or at least leaning over the fence, watching them eat more food than he has. And he says, things were better in my father's house, I will arise and go. Well, of course, he came to his right mind because the Holy Spirit was with him in the pigsty. And so, my friend, God is with you in your struggles, and I have a program that's going to help you to see that. It starts on the 16th of April, the day after Tax Day, and it's going to go on for 7 weeks every Thursday night. It's called Group Let's Not Call It Psychotherapy, and I'm expecting 10 people to turn up, no less than 10 and no more than 10. And if you would like to register for it, you call me before next Tuesday, the 24th of March. That's the deadline for registration. Now, during this time, on a Thursday, each Thursday at 7 o'clock, and we'll go till 8:30, you and others in the group will talk about your life and the problems of your life. And I, as your counselor, will help you to see the background that is causing your troubles, that is stimulating your troubles. I'll help you to analyze yourself a little bit. I'll help you to come to some solutions. I'll help you to reach into your pains. Others will listen in. They will learn from your life. And the following week, they will open up their lives and you will learn from their lives. There's going to be a signing of a confidentiality sheet that all people that are in the group keep it private and among ourselves. So I want to invite you to this. It's time to take action here and take this chance to be able to peer into your life with the help of someone else and find some useful approaches to your struggle. The cost of the program is $20 per night for the 7 Thursday nights, $20 each. So call me at 303-738-8694 to register by the 24th of this month. See you next time, my friend. God bless.